Hello, everyone. This is Danica Christofferson, Miss Oklahoma USA 2024, and today I am on the Frontier Banter podcast.
Welcome to show number four. Woo! This is Colonel Derek Baird, and I'm here with...
Command Sergeant Major Bill Pearson, the Fort Sill Garrison CSN.
All right, and I'm the U.S. Army Garrison Fort Sill, Oklahoma Garrison Commander. And today on the Frontier Podcast, we're doing a little something different today. Somebody who's, I would say, tangentially associated with Fort Sill, but born and raised in Lawton, so a true Lawtonite, Lawtonian, Fletcherite, something like that in the area around here. We've got Miss Oklahoma 2024, so the current reigning champion, Miss Danica Christofferson.
Pew, 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 pew.
That's
hey.
It.
Thank you for having me, Colonel Baird. Really, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the great thing about having you here, one, is you're here often with all the things that we do for the garrison, whether it's the coffee with the commander, whether it's a special event, you know, kind of showcasing to soldiers who you are, and the things we're going to talk about today is the things you had to overcome to be the champion, if you will, right? Because it's not the easy thing to do, right? Like, everybody sees you on top. It's like a duck in the water. There's all these things that are happening underwater to, you know, to get you going, and there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that kind of get you there.
Absolutely.
And then we're also going to talk a little bit today is you're a pretty accomplished business leader with, I think you got a team of about 160-ish people, and we're going to kind of talk a little bit about what the Delta Charlie Code Program, the DCC. Yep, so we're going to talk a little bit about that, but really we're going to kind of talk about who is Danica, how did Danica come to be the Miss Oklahoma, and then and some things that... why it's important for our military listenership. So, Danica, if you don't mind, just go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah. Well, hello. I'm Danica Christofferson. And like you mentioned, I currently am the Miss Oklahoma USA, but I started this, quote, pageant journey a long time ago. And really, like it or not, sometimes I don't like being put in the box of a pageant girl because I'm not the typical pageant girl when it comes to the things of hair, makeup, and glamour and all those things. But like you said, it takes a lot of hard work. I started this pageant journey back probably when I was 16, so I don't even know what year that was anymore. But I was Miss Oklahoma Teen USA at the time, too. And like anybody that achieves a goal, a lot of times when you have a goal and you're super driven towards it, you kind of lose sight of what you're actually doing it for, and then you get it, and you kind of then have a midlife crisis. Maybe that's just a girl thing, I don't know, but I definitely had a midlife crisis when I was 17. So that led me to going back and doing it again, and I found my spot in leadership, and I was able to, you know, take care of myself well enough to be able to lead a team of 160, because I'm sure you understand you can't take care of people if you are not taking care of yourself, whether that's
I like that.
Physical or mental, emotional. Because if you're about to lose your mind, you can't go teach somebody else how not to lose their mind. So that's kind of where I found all that within the last 4 years. And now here I am, 23, Miss Oklahoma, and placed second runner-up at Miss USA, which is still crazy to even say. So
that's insane, by the way. That's an amazing accomplishment. I mean, you've done a lot of these competitions, and I would imagine, and again, like anybody who's done a competition, whether it's an athletic competition, a mathlete, debate, whatever that chess league, whatever you want to call it, no one is undefeated, right? And so that resiliency, the drive, the purpose, right? Because we talk about this often, and talk about this a lot of people. What the one thing that I think that drives the train is purpose. And then, can you mention it? How do I get there? Here's my purpose. How does that drive my train? And then what's the physical, mental, and spiritual, the health and holistic fitness part of it to get me there? And so that's be an interesting journey to hear, like your perspective and your story and how that kind of unfolded over the past 4 or so years.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that, because for me, and I think it's different for everybody, like how you manage your stress, but specifically, you know, you mentioned it in the very beginning, but you see people that achieve something and you feel as though they're so distant from you, and you can't relate to them. Yeah. And so you're like, I can never do that, or that couldn't be me. And then you get there and you're like, this, nothing changed. This is weird, you know? And it really is a weird scenario, because then you have to readjust your mindset, because you were looking at the person that came before you and that they did it and they achieved it, and now you're there, and now you are the person that you used to idolize or whatever. So for me, how I managed that mindset and that stress was physical. I would run and I would work out, sometimes to the point of crazy. I would run early times in the morning because, I mean, as a runner, you get it takes time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do 10, 15 miles in an hour, no matter how fast you are. So it takes time. And I would run at early times in the morning and, you know, whatever works for you. But I was kind of the crazy that would run in the dark and listen to these motivational David Goggins podcasts and, like, scream and shout and be like,
we're David Goggins. We're David Goggins fans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And really, I mean, that, some people call it weird juju and they look at it and they laugh. But, you know, people who are successful are not going to look at that and judge you for it. They're going to look at it and, you know, say, hey, it got you through it. You know, the people doing things you want to achieve are not going to judge you for
stuff. No, I'm with you. You know, it's interesting. So I've, to be successful, you have to be driven.
Absolutely.
Unless you're completely super lucky and you're one of the ones that win the lottery, right? I mean, like,
yeah,
like the literal lottery, and you get, like, you know, millions of dollars.
Share some with us.
Right, right. Good yeah, on you. But
donate.
Right, exactly. But for most people, what I find interesting is the word ambition. Like, I sometimes feel like people take a step back and say, well, you're ambitious, or like, that's an ambitious plan, or you got a lot of ambition. And people tend to shy away from that. I would say don't. Like, if you want to, you've got purpose, you've got drive, have a goal, be ambitious, have ambition. It's okay to say you have that. I think sometimes people feel like that's a dirty word. I personally don't. And I think that helps you drive your train for the future. You know, and then what I'd like to, so I'm off my soapbox there, but I'm interested in your perspective. And now you're at the pinnacle, right? You're Miss Oklahoma USA. And then, you know, what are some of the things that you would want to tell the next crop of folks that are coming up through the, whether it's a pageant or, hey, I see a goal. How do I, you know, how do you talk to the next generation leader, the next generation competitor, whatever that looks like? What are some things that, now that you've reached that sort of pinnacle, what would you want to say to folks that will help them get there?
It's always the cheesy stuff that works. So I still have to remind myself of this, but it's all about the journey,
yeah,
right? Because the enjoyment's in the journey. As I mentioned before, and I'll probably say it again throughout this podcast, but once you achieve something that you've wanted for so long, you kind of get mind-boggled because now you have to readjust. And so if you focus so much on the end goal and don't actually enjoy the journey, then you get there and you don't remember any of it. Because there are things where, you know, when you're focused in on, you have the ambition to get to the end goal,
yeah,
that's all you care about, the trophy. When will I get the trophy? I'm going to get the trophy. And then you think that's going to make your life better, or that's going to, you know, lead you to the next step. When really, if you do have ambition and you are a goal getter, you're just going to want something bigger. So as I'm on the, you know, end of my reign as Miss Oklahoma, just like any overachiever, you're like, what's next? What's going to be bigger? I've already been to Miss USA. How do you get bigger than Miss USA? Well, who knows, you know, which, and I think having that ambition or even belief in yourself that there is something bigger. Before I competed for Miss Oklahoma last year, I made sure that in my mind I had it set that this was just an addition to my life, not my whole life, which can be a little bit tricky when you are trying to achieve a goal, whether it's a pageant or a marathon or a position in leadership or your job, whatever you're trying to get at. You know, you're the person that makes the role. And like I said, it's always the cheesy things that work, but you know, it's reminding yourself that you are adding to that just as much as it's adding value to you,
yeah,
so that you don't get your sights twisted. And the journey is remembered and enjoyed. And the journey lasts longer than the trophy half the time. So.
As it should, right? And then,
yeah,
and then sometimes I think we find ways that we just pivot too, right? So you get to this pinnacle. So what's another pinnacle I can get to that I never thought I can get there?
Yeah.
So maybe it's a completely different event.
Yeah.
Same mindset, same, but maybe a little bit different way to approach it, right? You know, so.
So when you started doing your, you said 17 is when you really started doing, mm-hmm, so from then to now, what would you say was the hardest part of doing all that? What was your biggest obstacle achieving those, mm-hmm, goals, and how did you overcome them?
Mm. There was a lot. Well, I'm sure. Yeah, there was a lot. But,
like,
I mean...
What was the one... Like, I'm sure that... I know it wasn't easy, but what would be the one thing you said, man, that was the one thing that was the hardest for me to cross that bridge?
Yeah. I think for me, what... And maybe not the hardest thing, but it was, or not the hardest obstacle to overcome, but the thing I learned the most from it, and that kind of obviously was an obstacle, was not really knowing when to take information and knowing from other people and knowing when not to take it. Because now I'm in an environment where people are like, you should wear that dress, or you're not, you know, thin enough, or you're not strong enough, or you need to fix your hair this way, or you have a gap in your teeth. And it's like, you're 17, right? Putting it into perspective. And just like I'm sure you guys understand, you know, there's going to always be somebody that's going to leave their little comment and their consensus and communicate. And you're like, even as a leader, a business leader, right? You have team members and things, and you're taking in their feedback, but you see the whole picture, you know? And so from the thing that I'd overcome was understanding and being strong within myself that they can't see the whole picture. And if I think that what they're telling me is true and I should change that, great, I'll change it. And if I don't, I can just say, hey, I really appreciate that. And have a great day, you know? Because it steers you wrong, and then you start doing things you don't like.
You know,
you're not yourself.
I just had that conversation with my wife. So hats off to Tamara, the real boss of the Pearson family.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was a staff sergeant.
It's a long time ago. Yeah. This probably
so that was
10, 15 years ago.
That was, she was probably 5.
Listen, he's a young chicken, okay?
You're the old one. I'm young.
Oh my! Oh my God! I think so, I beat you in PT this morning. I'm just throwing that out there for the world to hear.
I was mentoring young lieutenants in the back.
Mentoring.
Yeah. So, I'll leave the unit name off. I had a large group of NCOs tell me I was doing the wrong things to get to where I wanted to go, which if you would have talked to Private Pearson and said he was going to be a CSM one day, I would have laughed at you, but. You know, looking back, none of them made it past Sergeant First Class, and I made it to Garrison CSM, and hopefully on to other things, who knows. But it's because while I was receiving information, sometimes I knew what my goal was, and I knew what my path should be. So not all information you're going to receive is going to be the good advice.
Yeah. Or even valuable to you.
Yes.
But in their mind, it's the best thing since sliced bread.
It's all about perspective, right? It's your perspective, theirs. And then what I like, and I love where you, feedback, you said it earlier.
Yeah.
We said, like, feedback is a gift.
Hopefully it's a good one.
That's right. Some gifts are better than others, right? And some, it's a gift you can't really give back. Because once that feedback is given, you just...
You said that yesterday, and I really like that.
You accept
I remember
it
that.
As is, right? It's, you accept it as is. And like you said, some of it's like, I appreciate it. But if you look at the grand scheme of life or the grander scheme, maybe that you take bits and pieces of that feedback or you just discard it. Like, you said, but, you know, somebody just donate to the Goodwill feedback. The feedback Goodwill, is that such a thing? We're just going to donate to somebody else? You know what I kind of, what both of y'all said. So my brother just had his retirement ceremony last week, and he officially retires in June. So he's got... And he'll tell you 32 years, 9 months, 22 days. That's what happens when he retires. It's a long time in the Army. And one of the things that I thought was really great, like in his speech, was, you know, to all the people who didn't think I was going to make it or put all these obstacles in the way, I have two words for you. You know, everybody's kind of like, oh, you're like, yeah, what's it going to be? He's like, thank you. I'm like, that's not the two words you wanted to say, bro.
Yeah,
you
know? No, it's not the one.
Right? But
use your imagination.
That's right, right? But it goes back to what you were saying, right? Like, so... People put obstacles, people say things, because now, it's 24-hour news cycle, the social media is all around, you know, comments, people think they know better, someone is a beauty pageant expert and they're really not, or someone's an XYZ expert and they're really not, and you get all this feedback, and then, or people try to throw obstacles in the way, but I liked what he said, it's like, hey, thank you, because like Ryan Holiday, it's a great book. Let the obstacle be the way. Let that be the thing that you have to overcome to be really successful. Now, I really appreciate that book, and I appreciate what my brother said, and I appreciate what y'all are saying is, hey, at the end of the day, the feedback is great. Really appreciate it. The obstacles are great because it makes us better as we continue to overcome those challenges. So, and I'll just leave it at that, I think,
Which in the moment can be really difficult. As I think we all can attest to be like, thank you. Where your thank you comes from, it's difficult. But especially in the pageant world, because they're judging like how you look. But even on the flip side, pageants are a big part of my life for sure, but I know that that's not the most important thing in life. And I think that was another thing, you know, the amount of responsibility I have towards business being at Miss USA. You know, there were days my hair didn't look good or like I didn't like a photo. And I kind of was like, who cares?
Yeah.
Because back home, I've got 160 people that need to be showing up to work. And this person's not coming in because they're sick or their tire's flat and payroll didn't get run and all those kinds of things. So you're at Miss USA and you're like, you know, it really doesn't matter, guys. It's all kind of silly.
Yeah.
And that, like we were kind of talking about before the podcast, some people, you know, like the aggressive yelling to like get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
And then there's some people like me that are kind of, I'm very type B, surprisingly enough. And I just kind of go with the flow and whatever. And do I actually know what time this podcast was before today? No. I knew, looked this morning because I knew it was today. And I was like, I'll be there at 2:30. Got it.
That's you fine. Know?
I knew Chris sent me the address.
Yeah, so yeah.
I was like, I'll be fine when I get there.
Yeah, no, it's good. Good.
That's just how it rolls.
Yeah, you know, and knowing who you are is always a good thing. And then how to improve on it. Kind of like, you know, you said, hey, you started this journey at 17. It wasn't the easiest. It's not the easiest journey. You know who you were when you started, and you're a much different person now, I would imagine. I mean, that's not a, it is not an easy thing to get through, I would wager to say, right?
Yeah.
You know, so. How do you think?
You know, it's not even the hardest thing in life.
How do you think the pageant world helped you for the business world?
Oh, usually for me, I think about it the other way around, but I think the pageant world showed me more of the marketing side of things, because mm-hmm. a lot of things, I was going to touch on this before we, you know, change subjects, but even like you're saying with people giving their comments, there are people who think they're an expert, but they're not. We're all just trying to make it.
Yeah.
Like, we're all just trying to be somebody, you know? And so when you have somebody that's communicating advice to you, and yes, that might be the best thing to them since sliced bread, but it's not to you, that's okay. But identify that, you know, they care enough about you or they think enough about you to communicate to you.
Yeah.
Whether it's negative or not, right? And so from that perspective, you know, just kind of knowing that and, like, thinking of other people. It's not about you all the time.
No,
put yourself
good.
In their shoes.
Especially if it's well-crafted. And I say that yeah. because constructive criticism is great.
Mm-hmm.
Being an asshole is not. There no. are those are wild, yeah. two wildly different things. But you know what I mean. But
yeah.
But like, hey, you know, Derek, Bill, Danica, hey, you know, this is great. But how about X, Y, Z? And here's a recommended way ahead. And you're like, oh, that's actually pretty good. Or you suck. Those are two wildly different things, right?
Yeah.
And so both of them are feedback. One's a good gift. One you want to donate to the feedback goodwill, right? And give that to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, to your point, you know, so like, yeah, you know, and you got to get, that's what I would offer to folks that are listening, you know, it's the resilience part of it. How do you absorb that? You know, and it's really for the group here. How do you absorb that? Maybe like a constructive criticism that maybe is true and you don't want to hear it, but it's true. And then how do you deal with that? Because that, I think, is often with young people. It doesn't matter what generation, all of us go through it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you absorb that and how do you deal with it?
I mean, Goggins written books on that.
Yeah.
I
know, right? Yeah, you're like, go read one.
Yeah. Yeah. Go run it till you fall.
Yeah, really. But I think time to reflect, too.
Yeah.
It's I used to run, obviously, in the mornings, and that time when you know you're a little bit crazy when you don't listen to music on your run or, like, don't listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
And I think the amount of, like you're saying, the young generation, I mean, I still kind of am considered young, obviously, 23, but I learned pretty quick that, like, stop listening to music. Stop listening to music. Stop listening to our podcast, but stop listening to podcasts and just stop filling your time with these things that don't add value or matter to you, you know, and stop letting other people live your life as in, like you're saying, the negativity and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I heard this on a news podcast one morning, or I don't even know if it was who it was, but people are all trying to be somebody, right? And so when you're talking about careers, the people that are in the news or in that and this, it's like they're trying to do one thing, and that is be successful in whatever business they do.
That's right.
And does that business negatively affect you, as in, are you constantly absorbing music, not really thinking about your life, what you want to do, where you want to go? Are you thinking for yourself, right? Because when you're listening to something, how often do you listen to music and actually think of an idea? I don't know about you, but I cannot do that.
Oh.
I'm like in the song and I'm like having a good time.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not thinking about, you know, how I'm going to address the fact that this person said this and what it means to me and should I accept it? Does it, how would it affect my life? And I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about the music. So
yeah.
driving, I've stopped just naturally listening to music and sometimes intentionally, whether I want to or not, but even running, like I'll make myself go on a run and just think, Because what else are you going to... You're going to find something to think about. You know, and you're going to go down this rabbit trail in your mind.
You get inside your own brain pan and just kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, that. So I had a book recommended to me recently, and I've read it. Juliet Funt. I'm going to say that's Juliet Funt. It's called A Minute to Think. Yeah, and it's exactly like you got to carve time out to reflect or at least think about stuff. Because you remember... You watch these old movies, or you see a picture of somebody with their feet up on the table. They're looking out of their window. That's like the old CEO, and they're just looks like they're sleeping, but really they're in their own head.
Yeah.
And we need more of that. Sometimes you got to carve out some time, whether it's on a run, you know, sitting in the shower, you know, on the road, whatever it looks like, and it's just you and you.
Yeah.
Like I say, you like physically you, and then your head.
Well, and to. You know, add on to that, thinking and being a leader, first off, requires you to think. And so when you're thinking about a plan or a solution, a lot of times people see that, team members, whomever, and it looks like you're not working. Yeah. You know, and so if you get in your head about this thing of like a workhorse mentality that I have to produce, you know, when you're doing physical work, yeah, it's great to move the boxes and get the things done. But like, yeah. Slow down for a minute and look at the boxes. How could we quickly do this? Mm-hmm. You know, but that's not working to some people. And so it can be hard because you're like, I'm trying to produce and perform and be the best person I can be, you know, and show them that I got it. But really, you're like, slow down and look at
the boxes.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah. So, but I think to wrap up on your question, pageants have taught me how to make things put into a pretty box in the sense of marketing or conversation and even being able to have this conversation here. Obviously, it's a little bit more relaxed, but I've also learned how to communicate in a way that's professional and, you know, doing your research and all that kind of stuff before you go meet folks. And it's taught me a lot of the sales/marketing that I do know. And I've been able to use, you know, the business I run now to kind of use that as an avenue every day.
Like just having to learn how to answer a question in 30 seconds or less helped?
Actually, it has. So my onstage question at Miss USA... you had headphones on, so there's five of us on stage in top five. You're on national television. They teach you, like, you know, looking in the audience, it's all black, but there's red dots, and the red dots is where the camera is, so everybody's kind of freaking out. I knew, it's crazy, like I was telling you before this, episode 4, my lucky number is 4. I was called into the top five as the fourth person, and so at that point, I was like, I'm winning. I'm going to beat Miss USA.
Brilliant.
I've got this. So I was like on the coast, right? But we're all standing on stage. It's a huge stage. There's red dots in the audience, and that's where the camera is. And we're on, I think, the CW channel. I already almost forgot. I know I'm on the CW channel. It's really crazy. I'm standing there. We all have these big headphones on. Hopefully my hair doesn't get messed up by the time they take it off because I can't see. But these girls, three girls before me had already answered their question, and I had no idea what it was. We all got asked the same question, so you can obviously see who did better, who didn't do better, because it was the same question. So I finally get up there, and that question, I don't remember all the details of what it was, but essentially it was like, how do you manage, you know, the world is so diverse. I don't know the exact words, but essentially it was saying the world is so diverse. How do you manage, as Miss USA, just as an individual, you know, leading a team of this many people or leading a group? Because this was USA, you're a leader and blah, 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 right? Yeah. And, you know, thinking on your toes, I didn't, quote, rehearse that answer and, like, writing it down 5 times and I am a robot, I know the answer. It's not what I did, but I had an opinion based on what I believed. And going into Miss USA, obviously, it was an election year, so I was prepared for whatever they were going to ask me. They've had some pretty...
Play the game.
Yeah, questions in there. But even for that, like, I knew, I was like, I want to be 110% myself. I'm not going to... And like you're saying, play the game, but just enough to not stray away from who I am, right? Yeah. And so that was really fun to me because who am I? I get to like look at myself, reflect, figure out what my thoughts are. And, you know, I think, and I'm sure you guys can understand this because you work with so many different people from different backgrounds. Nobody believes the same thing, right? Even us three at this table can disagree on something, but we're all trying to achieve the same mission, essentially, is kind of what I answered. But and even as Americans, right? Because we're all here in the United States. We're free. We're here because of the work you guys do, because of the work everybody on this base does. So why am I going to be afraid to answer how I believe?
Yeah.
Regardless of the scenario situation. And so to answer your question, you know, it absolutely has helped me because I've been able to develop opinions at 23. And even in a month from now or 2 days from now, I can look back and be like, I don't agree with that anymore. But that's that's a great thing about being here in America.
Yeah, and you have you have the right to update what you like, evolve. You know, people that evolve or change your opinion. I'm with you. You know, it's interesting where you said like you went in there, you were very organic. Like you went in there and like sort of informal.
Informal.
Kind of guy, right? If we had
everybody take a shot,
bourbon, it'd be a new drinking game, right? it's pretty hilarious, by the way. But yeah, so like I've talked to a lot of folks going through different, whether it's an assessment program or going through an interview for GS or general service job or a civilian job, is have about two or three talking points, because regardless of the question, like maybe the question you can provide one or two of your talking points. And if you know that, like just three bullet comments. In fact, if you have a blank sheet of paper in the back of your mind, these are the three things I always want to circle back to. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that way you don't have to worry about what the question is.
Yeah.
You already know how you're going to answer it.
Yeah.
Whatever that question is. And you can always tie it back to the two or three things that you know. And it's more organic that way, I think. Yeah. And I think it makes it, I do all these talks here in Lawton. I get like a little card. I look at it. I write a few things down. I put it in my pocket. Then I just like,
keep moving.
Just keep it on, and just keep going. And that's kind of how we do it, because I think it's more organic, and then you have a better feel for what you want to say and how you want to project your perspective or your thought process. So I'm with you. Keep it. Those who are more robotic, I think, are more disingenuine, yeah. I think. Absolutely. You want to be prepped. You want to be prepped for sure, but be who you are is to be genuine. And if not, causes problems later in life, I think.
Yeah. Well, and leadership is all about influence. And to influence people, you have to understand how they feel about what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what it is, right? And so if you're delivering it robotically and you're so focused on this is what I was supposed to say, you now can't even see the person in front of you to identify whether or not they're jiving with what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, so. That's a hard skill to learn, because you're not, first off, I mean, no matter what you're doing, but specifically in a beauty pageant, you're being judged on the way you look. So you're solely focused on yourself. You're like, well, what do I look like? How does my hair look? Oh, my God.
I have that problem every day.
Yeah.
My short hair.
I would give your hair a 6 today.
Oh,
6
out of 10. Yes. It's better than what I normally get as a 4. Yeah. So I'm good.
But, and you're just so focused in on yourself. And that takes effort to not focus on yourself. So you are taking the effort to therefore not focus on yourself. So it's...
Yeah.
Tell me how to do it. I feel like that's harder than rocket science half the time. But.
plus when you're out in front of folks. So I remember in college, I took a public speaking course. And that was probably one of the most favorite courses I've ever taken. And I'm a tier one extrovert. Surprise. Surprise for everybody, right? But you don't just like, being a tier one extrovert doesn't mean you're a good speaker. It doesn't mean you're good in public. It just means you just like have a ton of energy and you get it from other people and other things, right? But I thought the public speaking part of it was great. And I would offer that up to anybody, wherever walk of life you're from, take a public speaking course. If you want to know how to get yourself out, be comfortable being uncomfortable. I mean, the first time I gave a public speech in front of a class, I was like, and you almost kind of lock up, right? It's beneficial. And it kind of goes back to what you're saying. You just got to go out there and do it and do it more than once and get good at it, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think even for you guys, that's an interesting question. I know pageants and the things I've done are definitely high achievements, but real world stuff, I mean, you guys are talking to people all day long, when you're having to be an influence and a leader. Would you say you ever get nervous?
Yeah, especially, what's interesting is cross-generational.
Mm.
So whether you're talking to senior leaders, junior leaders, folks out in Lawton, or just in general, I think what's when you're the face or you're the one that's out there, are you saying something that people don't like? Is something gonna say the feedback? Do you have a booger hanging out of your nose? Like these are all real things, right? And then at a certain point in time, you gotta say to yourself, man, it doesn't matter. I'm just gonna say
who cares, yeah.
Right?
Who cares?
And just kinda it's the what's that book that's, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
That is a great book.
I haven't read that yet.
It's a great book.
He's got a couple, too, I think, The Subtle Art of Different Things.
Yeah, I think so.
Money or something like that.
He's also Max, I forget his name, but he did like a pseudonym author.
Max Gladwell?
No, Max Tucker. It was different types of books. But when he was younger, did some some doofy books.
It's one of my wife's favorite movies too, by the way.
It's kind of juvenile, but but his leadership books, as you grow older, you figure out maybe I need to switch my focus.
Yeah.
But that book here's what I thought was really great. It's like you could be Derek Baird, or you can be Bill Pearson, the best sled dog racer in America. But you know what? You think you're extraordinary, but really you're average because maybe you suck at math.
Yeah.
And so that just brings you right back to the middle.
Yeah.
And so he's like, "Hey man, everybody's average." And I was like, "Oh my God, I'm not average.
He's like, yeah.
You're not special. Like, but I am special.
Yeah.
But if you look at the grand scheme of things, right? Like, it's all about you could be really good at a lot of things, but then you're not so good at other things. It just kind of brings you right back to that middle of that bell curve. As soon as I read that, I'm like, it's brilliant. You know, and maybe I shouldn't care a lot what people say.
You know, for me, it was, when Tamara and I were in Qatar together, I was briefing senior ranking people at a young rank. So I got kind of used to that. You know, being a CSM, I've done lots of speeches and crazy stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like I said, it was this job where you just show up to an event and you got KSWOs like, "Hey, we're going to do a quick interview and throw a TV camera in your face."
First time they did that, you should have seen his face.
Oh, really?
That was.
We need to save that one for the
I think the first time it happened to me was with Colonel P at like the Christmas tree lighting event or something crazy. Honestly, it was our first, when I first got here, it was our first like garrison town hall. It's talking to a group of civilian employees. And it's you got to change your speak because the way I would speak to a group of young E4s and the way I would speak to a group of civilians, you have to learn how to start shifting that.
Yeah.
And it goes into the leadership toolkit. I've always said leadership's kind of like a tool bag.
Yeah.
Where sometimes you need a hammer, sometimes you need a screwdriver, sometimes you need a wrench. You can't just always be the hammer. And that came from growth, from being young Sergeant Pearson to Sergeant Major Pearson.
Oh, yeah.
Has grown exponentially on how I address problems and address different leadership challenges, as we like to call them.
Yeah.
But I would say, I always thought I was a good speaker until I got shoved into this job, and you got to smile and talk.
At the same time.
Randomly, I haven't had to do it on live TV and answer how I would solve world hunger.
Yeah.
International organizations haven't figured out. But so it's, like you said, you always think you're a good speaker, or I'm great at this. And then you're like, I wasn't expecting that one.
Yeah. That was a bad
I probably need to start working on that one.
Yeah. I should have prepped.
But it goes back to having those two or three talking points, right? That you can always lean on. You may not have to answer the question, but you're going to say something that you want people to know. Is what I...
Informal.
Yeah, exactly.
You are, too. Like, originally they would give me, "Hey, say this stuff."
Yeah.
And people like you and I are kind of better at just winging it with some talking points that we can sit around.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we can just go just because that's our personalities. But I'm really bad at, like, "Hey, you got to say these things." And then I turn into
Ron
Burgundy trying to... Don't just read the teleprompter.
Yeah. that's me for sure.
Oh, that's pretty great.
What do you think...
Go ahead.
What do you think made you not quit in between each of those, though? Because that's hard to teach somebody. How do you teach somebody not to quit? Can you do that?
Yes, it's experience. You know, it's interesting. So I have an identical twin brother, and I've known him all my life. It's pretty great. But we always discuss what makes a good leader. Is a good leader born or are they grown? Right? And so a little mix of both sometimes, your personality, who you are, can help out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm the firm believer it's all about growth, and you got to teach someone how to do it. So
right.
The good leaders fail often. And how do you fail? You fail forward. Ideally, you don't make the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. What you do is you make a mistake, you learn from it, you keep getting better and better, make another mistake, and you keep going and going and going. You know, I think it all, and so through that, that's where I think the teaching part comes into young leaders, young soldiers, young entrepreneurs, young pageant winners, is how just doing it. People are, I read this in a book, I think it was a sci-fi fantasy novel. I'm a big sci-fi fantasy reader. Everybody always says it's the first step that's the hardest. Well, I read a book, it's really great. It's not the first step, it's every step after that. Yeah. Is the hard, because you can take that step and it's kind of not easy. You're breaking stride, you're going in there, But the next stride gets even more challenging. Then it's more challenging. Then it's more challenging. And that compounds on itself. And so you either got to teach yourself. Ideally, people like us are teaching our younger generation or peers, even seniors, like how to do that. And so that resilience comes with experience. The only way to do that is to do it. Like, is to just jump in feet first into the deep end of the pool and just say, I'm doing it. You know, but you ideally have someone who mentors you along the way or teaches you how to do it. But I mean, sometimes
even then you can't wait until you have. It's nice to have a mentor, but you can't wait.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, you got to do it.
Yeah.
And it goes back to
finding that like grit in yourself to just do
it. Yeah.
And once you identify that it takes, because for me, I'm very much, I don't know if I'm a level one extrovert, but I definitely feed off people's energy. So as soon as somebody else is like, hey, so excited. I'm so excited.
Match energies, right?
Yeah. And so when somebody's like, oh, that'd be so cool. You should do that. I'm like, yeah, I should do that. I'm going to do it. Versus there are people that I know that don't require anybody to tell them it's cool, but they're achieving all these different things. Yeah. So once you identify, I identified that in somebody else. And now I have to watch when I see something I want to do and not wait for somebody else to tell me to do
it.
So I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's hard because you have to self-reflect.
Yeah.
And know kind of who you are.
And also you got to know what you can grab for, right?
Yeah.
So how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? You may not hit the goal right off the bat, but you take little baby steps to get there.
Yeah.
And so for that, like, as you're as an entrepreneur, and then under, whether it's in an entrepreneur world, as a business leader, as a pageant winner, you know, as you go out, what are some techniques that you use that help you besides, I mean, we talk running, but what other things that help you with your resilience and then makes you mentally tough to really achieve the goals that you want in life?
Yeah. I think, like I mentioned, I'm very much a physical person. So to get all that like nervous, anxious, frustration energy out, I have to do something physical. So for me, it's about my routine, and a routine as much as you can have when you're a leader, right? Because you get called at 5 a.m., doesn't really matter. your schedule is now wrecked.
Yeah.
But I think having a routine and a schedule, so of course we said running, but this is kind of where the Delta Charlie code comes in. Delta Charlie, military alphabet, right?
Yep.
A mentor of mine, he was in the military, and he, you know, gave me this like nickname for when I was actually really doing good. Because there was a time in my life where I was really struggling, you know, with mental health and all the things, right? Just anxiousness and all that, essentially being a victim in my own life. Delta Charlie was like this alter ego that I could like channel in a sense that was like, I'm Delta Charlie, you know? So as I'm running in the middle of the night at like 4 a.m., it's pitch black outside. I'm like screaming, I'm Delta Charlie.
Would you really?
Yeah. So, and David Goggins, I think, actually says
this
too.
And then I'm Goggins.
Yeah, and then I'm Goggins. That's
right. Well, that's awesome because it's Sergeant Major Bill Pearson.
Yeah.
But his 80s rock alter ego is Blaze Thunderfist.
That's right.
And I hear him yell it every now and then as he's walking his dog. Just
throw it out there. Absolutely. Like, that's him. There it is. But I, like we said earlier too, whatever works. We're all just trying to, you know, do something in life. But for me, that was like, I'm Delta Charlie, you know?
Yeah.
And like, when you're not doing well, you can remind yourself. And words are definitely really, really powerful. So I struggle a lot when I am stressed or, you know, in this kind of rut, is I will constantly, you know, think negatively, or I'll speak negatively. Like, I don't want to do this. I really hate doing this. When really, you know, those cheesy motivational affirmations like I am, that sometimes will help, you know, and whatever your juice is. So, but that's where the Delta Charlie Code program comes in. And so I run, quite frequently. I haven't run a marathon yet. I ran a half.
March 22nd.
I know the warrior. What
just
is
so
it?
Happens.
Warrior?
Just so happens. 10K half and full.
Yeah.
I mean, just throwing it out there. You got plenty of time.
There it is. I am going to try to do the half.
Great.
And now it's on. It's recorded. Now I actually
So
I told this to Shay the other day and I was like,
Shay,
nice.
It's happening.
On a podcast.
Put it out in the universe.
Yeah,
it's
happening. On
it's
record.
Out there. It's out there in the universe.
In the midst. But another thing that I do is ice baths. So I'll cold plunge or I don't know. I don't think it's David Goggins, I'm sure, does it. But specifically, his name is Wim Hof.
So my wife does the Wim Hof method. Do you do the breathing techniques too?
Yes, I
she's
love
got the app.
Yes.
She gets to hold the breath and she's like, do
how
it with me.
How far can she go?
She used to do it for almost 2 minutes, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was like first it was like 36. She's like, do this with me. I'm like, I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah.
No. Like, I'm not trying to kill myself to go to sleep, but I would. And it was kind of fun. But yeah, so she was like close to 2 minutes, I think, last time I checked in. Yeah.
That's great. Well, you'll have to check again because I just hit 2 minutes. That'd be really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Now we can challenge each other to get to three.
Yeah, she's all about the ice bath and the polar plunge or whatever you want to call it, or the really super cold shower. God bless you. Hmm.
And I mean, I took, I started when I was probably 20, 21. And there, I started with cold showers, which cold showers are great. And then you do them for a long enough time and you're like, oh, okay, this isn't really that bad.
Yeah.
But throwing yourself in a bucket of ice, it's tough. Like that will get the quit out of you right away, humble you very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And on top of that, at the same time, I would listen to like motivational, like warrior mindset type deals at the same time. So I'm like 4 a.m. in the middle of the dark in my deep freezer on the side of my house. It was unplugged, by the way, when I got in. So, but you know, it's just, it's things that work. And are they conventional? Are they super sexy all the time? No, like getting in your deep freezer from your parents' house that you took, you know, the other day when they were home. I mean, does it work? Yes. But is it super, you know, aesthetic? Not really, but.
Well, mom, dad, we found your deep freezer.
Yeah, there it is.
Have you tried like the cryo freezes?
I haven't tried those yet. No.
So I thought they were amazing. So I was, how do I put this? I was trying out for an organization in the Army, and during it, I was just really beating up my body. And my buddy was like, hey, you got to go to this location, just do a cryo freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped recover me like that. Now, it's hard for me to do a deep freezer because those of you who can't see me, I'm built like an ogre. So me to find a deep freezer.
Troglodyte is the word we like to use.
Or troglodyte is what it is. So I think for me to find a tub to get in is hard enough as it is.
Yeah.
But if you ever get the chance and you had like recover from a long run, do a cryo freeze. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and it is really great for like you're saying fitness recovery too. Yeah. So like on top of running being good for you, for your brain and all the things, like...
Yeah.
Get in some cold water.
So we talk about that quite a bit. Like one of the things that we do for the garrison, and we both have done this in our units, and my brother does it too, and a bunch of other folks, is we do monthly physical fitness, really health and holistic fitness challenges. Mm-hmm. Like today we did a 60-minute, 25 to 30-pound, depending on which sandbag you picked up, 60-minute sandbag carry, 60 minutes, right? In your instead of bear hug, it's not on your shoulder, whatever. You're just running for 60 minutes, 30 out, 30 back. First 30 minutes, not a problem. Turn around and come back. Like, oh, geez, I got to come back. It's super dark outside. It's a little windy. It's rainy.
Facing the wind probably.
Yeah. Uphill both ways. I mean, there is some uphill and downhill, but some rolling hills. But then now it's a mindset. Now it's all about how the grit, the mental resilience, the toughness. And then thrown in with some physical fitness, you know, because your core gets engaged. And you're like, oh, my God. So everything's starting to break down. And in a moment, you get some spiritualness. And they're like, you're praying to whoever, like, oh my God, I'm gonna get through this, you know. But really, like, all that health and holistic fitness, like, as you figure out what that looks like, and then the recovery piece, but all that I think is what allows people to be very successful in life. If you can manage that stress, because stress is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's like an obstacle, right? Or it allows you to survive in the wild. I mean, stress is okay. It's not bad. It's how you deal with it. That's the challenge, I think.
Well, and that's interesting you say that, too, because I've been saying this as of recently because life has been pretty stressful in the business world. But, you know, you look at people who are, you know, the big wigs or, you know, the idols you have, things like that. But the higher up you go, the more stress you get.
Yeah.
But you look at them and you're like, they're not stressed at all. No way. No way they're stressed. But then you get up there and, like, you start reaching a new goal and a new goal and a new goal.
That's right.
And you're like, how in the world do those, like, and you point up and you're like, how do those people deal with it? The people that are, like, bigger and doing better things than I am and what, not even better, but just bigger things and they're more responsible. It's like, what? How do they deal with it?
Yeah.
How do they do it? There's no way that they're not stressed.
You know, it's like, even when I was a kid, I should say kid, young soldier, I would see Sergeant Major and my God, they just sit in their ivory towers just doing nothing.
They're peering out the window thinking.
So when I was a battalion CSM, we used to do like follow the CSM around for a couple of days. And a pilot would follow me around for about 24 hours. Once you got through my first 3-hour meeting, can I go back to just being a private? Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, this is so they knew we would do. Don't just sit in our offices all day thinking of great quotes from 4-star generals. It's like, no, our job actually is pretty stressful.
The good idea grenade comes out of the sergeant major's office. Catch this one.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. But, you know, we're all people. We're all humans. And I would wager to say that if you looked at top politician, business, athlete, the way they manage stress is probably fairly similar to what, you know, most people, should, but they use techniques that are out there that you and I or you know, the average Joe, the average Derek would use, you know, but they've done it for longer and they've experienced it. So there's, again,
it's like that step. They're like 10 steps in. So
it's experiential, right? Yeah. We're like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 steps and they're like 10, 15, right? And so then, and now that step becomes harder and harder. And so how do you manage it? Hope these people are left and right.
That's a good question, actually. So we've been dealing with generational stuff in the military. And since you're 23, but you're also running a business, so you have a bunch of employees of the same age. I can't quote the senior leader because I don't know if he wants me quoting him, but he said that what we have found, and I agree with him, is that this generation we've taught to not go through anything and be sheltered. And the only way to build resiliency is to go through some stuff in life.
Something,
whether it be, have you found that in, whether it's your employees or just peers generationally, that the resiliency has gone down based on how they were raised or how the world is today?
Absolutely. 100%. It's hard because, you know, once you have gone through, you've been in their shoes, right? Mm-hmm. So just like you're saying, when you were a young private, you've been in the, you're looking at them now and you're like, I've been there. I know exactly what you're going through. I know it looks like I'm not really working, but I've just learned how to manage my stress. But you say that to them and they don't really understand that, right? But, you know, how you see that, I definitely think it's a thing that makes a big effect into people and who they are. And it's interesting you say that because obviously being, you know, close to Fort Sill, one of my shops, the amount of people I notice that are, you know, their families in the military, their husbands in the military, they've had so much change in their life that they're rock solid. You'd think that they are prepared to not be able to deal with change, but they've dealt with it, moved around, done different things. Like, they get it. And guess what? If you have to do a 10-hour day, they're like, bet, too easy, you know? Yeah. But for folks who've literally, you know, not had to really work a day in their life or experience change or do those kinds of things, 6 hours with no breaks is a long time. And you're like, well, guess what? The work doesn't stop until it's done, you know? So if you're going to take
Say that one more time for
the work doesn't stop until it's done, you know?
That's right.
And that's how, you know, I mean, that's just who I am as a person, but I also have to recognize that other people are not like that. But they're also not going to get the things that I'm going to get. So you must do what others, or you must do the things that others won't do to get what nobody else will get, or something like that. It's a quote, right? But like you're saying, the generational challenges, I definitely see it. And it's even harder because I'm a part of the generation that has the challenge. So I'm different than most of my friends and my peers.
Yeah.
And
no, it's great.
How do you relate to them?
Right.
I'm like, you're irritating me. We're going to keep going. What do you mean?
It's about drive. It's ambition. It's purpose. It's, you're motivated. Yeah. Like, you got a different gear. Let's say we talk with, what's her name, the big runner?
Courtney Dolwalter.
Yeah, Courtney Dolwalter. You get into the pain cave, and you got to figure out how to get out of it, and then keep going. And then
she's great, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but when people hit that pain cave, they stop. It's like Ryan Holiday. Let the obstacle be the way.
Yeah.
You know,
it's kind of like once you're tired. Like, once you get past being tired for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what? You're up the rest of the night.
That's it.
You're moving. You're like, okay, we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, kinetic energy is a thing. Like, energy in motion tends to stay in motion kind of thing. That's it. We were doing one of those, I guess it was many moons ago, about 10, 11 years ago, we did the unit I was in had a senior leader marriage retreat, which was great because, you know, folks have been married for 10, 15 years. Your problems are way different than someone who just got married is like a young 20-year-old when you're like 35, 40.
Like, why don't you 40? Take the trash out?
Right, right. Yeah,
like, whatever.
Different challenges.
Their first year of marriage are laughable.
Yeah. Like, different challenges, right? You're like, oh, that's funny. I remember when I was a child, right?
You know?
But so one of them, the chaplain said, hey, you know, if your spouse, because, you know, they're talking to the spouse, if your soldier was a vehicle, what would they be? You know, people are like, oh, my soldier would be a Corvette. Mine would be a Porsche. My wife raised her hand. I'm like, oh, my God. This is not going to be good.
And she used Camry on a
Well, I would take that. She's like, my husband, Derek, is a front end or a bulldozer. And I was like, what?
You know, it's like, come again?
I'm like looking around. I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, no, seriously, you're a bulldozer. I'm like, oh, my God. But the way she said it was great. It goes back to the obstacles away. So if you're a bulldozer, you can either pave a road, you can make a plot of land, you can make something that's very useful. and you can do these things, but when something gets in your way, you're either going to make a road around it, under it, over it, or you're just going to drop the front end loader and go through it. I'm like, oh, that is, I am a bulldozer. Like, yeah. That is me. And but it goes back to having the resiliency or the wherewithal and the experience to figure out when there's an obstacle, what do you do? We don't stop. You got to figure out how to get around it, through it, over it, under it, or drop a front end loader and go right through and just smash it.
Yeah.
And just be a blunt force instrument. Not always a good thing to do, right? When we were younger, that might have happened a lot. Right? Mm-hmm. Every problem was a nail near the hammer. But then you realize there are other instruments to do these things. And so it goes back to what you were saying, right? Like, hey, I started this journey at the age of 17, right? You know, and now you're Miss Oklahoma USA and much different person when you start off with, I think, yeah?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because, like, you're visually, right, bulldozer makes a lot of sense. But even then, now you just created a path for everybody behind you. And so,
that's right.
Yeah. And being a leader, you know, it's, I mean, you have to be able to create the path and be okay with being the quote bulldozer, which can be deemed as negative. But it's like, who's going to do it?
Yeah, and bulldozers are useful.
Yeah.
That's my,
my
going in term there.
Get it done.
I'm going to ask Tamara tonight. She'll be your donkey.
Yeah. So, you know.
I would agree with Tamara.
That's fair.
I mean, we saw one today. You're
beside
over there
the
hanging
ladies,
out.
We sided the ladies.
No, it's good. It's good. So, so what is the, as we close this out, like what, like for you, Danica, like we got some good listeners here, and I know you got some folks that follow you around. Oh, that sounds weird, but you know what I mean.
Stalkers.
Some weird stuff.
Yeah,
but no,
out.
But like.
Blink twice.
Folks that live, like for the folks that you're in your organization, or folks that you, what's the message that you would like to send to folks that says, "Hey, you can do this too," or like, what do you want people to know that will help them out as they look at start a new journey to be better or to do something they've never done and they want to reach out and grab this goal? What would you tell them?
You know, aside from what I've mentioned in the podcast, I think realizing that the good stuff goes down, the bad stuff goes up. So just because from a perspective of, you know, a lesser ranking, you don't see that your leader is struggling, that doesn't mean that what they're doing is not hard, right? They're giving you the good stuff as a leader should. The bad stuff doesn't need to come down, right? The issues that you're dealing with, all your problems, things like that, you might have an issue that they need to fix, but are you going to tell them about your issues and how, you know, your leader is doing this and that and whatever, right? You're not going to send that stuff down. Because it's obviously going to create some challenges and issues. But the good stuff is what goes down. The bad stuff is what goes up. So when you're looking at the person that's in charge of you, whether it's at work or, you know, in life, things like that, I mean, just because it looks like they've got it all together, they probably don't. And it is hard, you know, and to get to a spot of success or value or whatever you want to do in life, it's going to be hard, you know, and you have to be able to get yourself through it to, you know that that's going to be possible for you. And really, it's cheesy, and everybody says it, but anything is possible, right? How do you get there? Now, be realistic with yourself. If you're, you know, like in pageants, for example, there's a year age limit cutoff, right? Or there used to be. And so if you know that you've only got 2 years left, you know, if you're trying to go be Miss Universe, I mean, you can do it in a year. So if you have 2 years, you could go do it, you know? But I think knowing that you can achieve anything and that the good stuff is always going to come down. So when you get up there, too, know that once you get to that position, it's not always going to be handy dandy. But the reason it looked handy dandy and fine and is because you had a good leader, right? Because imagine if what's crazy. I've had people tell me this, you know, as a business owner or manager, you know, well, we just don't feel like we can connect to you, or we don't have a relationship, or I don't feel like I know you, and stuff like that. And it's like, well, you know, the stuff about my life and what I'm dealing with, you don't want to know, you know? And I hate the question of how are you too. So it's like, even then they're like, oh, well, how are you doing? Because of course you check in with your team, make sure that the leaders are doing what they're supposed to. And they're like, well, how are you? Do not ask me that question, right? Because it's like, do you want
to... Good, now I know what to ask next time.
There it is. Yeah, well, it's like, do you really want to know what it is? I counted it the other day and, you know, with business, it's tough, you know, finances and all that. But, you know, when it's always when you're going through the hardest time that when people ask you how are you doing? It just is another reminder of where you're at. Yeah. You know, and it's like, it's trashy. I don't like it. Well, don't ask me how I'm doing because I'm probably doing bad.
No, but you know what?
But I'm managing, you know? So it's like, because you look so smiley and happy and you're having a fun time. It's like, I'm just dealing with stuff, you know?
That's
it's life.
Yeah, it's a different persona you got to project, right? And then like, you can dream something, you can do it, but I love dreamers.
but you got to plan and execute to execute mm-hmm. that dream. Like, people can dream big, but you got to do something about it.
Yeah.
Don't fall flat on your dream. Like, yeah. do something about it. And those dreams aren't a straight shot. It's meandering. You know, life's going to get you. Life ain't fair.
Something's going to throw you. Life is not fair. Yeah,
life
that's
sucks.
Right.
Buy a helmet. That's what my, that's what
Candace I'm, Owens.
Yeah, that's it. There life it sucks. Is. Buy there
a
helmet. Is.
Like this is, it's a meandering cycle, and you just got to figure out, here's a pathway, and I'm going to meander through this pathway. I'm going to be back on it for a little bit. I'm going to hit left. I'm going to go right. I'm going to do whatever. Yeah. But I'm still moving forward on the pathway. Just be meandering.
That's right.
All right, so Major, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, how do I top that?
I know, right?
I mean, yeah, life.
Mic drop.
It's knowing that life is going to come your way. Like, yeah. we've talked about it before. I don't know if we talked on the podcast. Like, my goal is to do 100 miler. My wife is probably tired of me watching Courtney Dolwather documentaries because she's my running idol. But, you know, even when I was getting there, I broke my foot. Then I got back at it this last time in Paris 50K. I got to, like, mile 20. I called them up. But, yeah, I just broke my foot again.
Oh, man.
I'm going to walk back to mile 26.
To be fair, I was not sympathetic at all. I'm like, yeah, it sounds like you're a giant baby. You should finish out, you know, as a yeah. as a good partner.
Well, and that, yeah, really.
It's all about resilience. Do better. No, it was, yeah.
So we'll see how this year goes. We're back to Paris 50K.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, that's really cool. In Paris.
Paris, Texas.
Okay, I was like, you're going to Paris.
Yeah, Paris. Well, yeah, Paris, Texas.
Under the Eiffel Tower. It's kind of like Miami.
They do have a small Eiffel Tower there.
There is a small Eiffel Tower in Paris, Texas. Yeah.
Miami, you know, Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's kind of what y'all said is, I say this a lot because we've all been around. We've all had some challenges. And I'll tell this for anybody out there, listen, don't let anybody else define your worth. That's on you to define.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like, you want the feedback, you want this, but who you are is on you.
Yeah.
You want, again, the naysayers, not saying naysayers like people give you constructive feedback, because there's some good feedback out there, but you are who you are because of you, not anybody else. You define your worth. And we've all had challenges, but I would tell you about 4 or 5 years ago, that really hit me hard and I was like, oh, and you hit a stop, and you're like, oh, and like, who defines my worth? Me.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, okay, now how do I get over this hump? And now you start to excel again. And so I would offer that up as a mental resilience technique is write it down. You define your worth. Nobody else does.
And once you decide to own it.
That's
so if you're going to choose to like have a shaved head, do the things like the bangs or like pierce your ears, own it.
Stop be Blaze Thunderfist. Be Blaze Thunderfist, the 80s rock star.
Embrace it.
We don't stop.
Yeah.
We don't stop.
Never ever. Blaze
Thunderfist. That might come back out on social media. I can't wait. Yeah. This would be really great.
That
so,
was fun.
All right. Well, for everybody out there, really appreciate it. Danica, thank you very much for taking your time out to talk with us today. And for everybody out there in the virtual space, listen to us as we wax poetic about leadership and mental resilience and whatnot. I don't remember what our next podcast is going to be like, but I know in April, in a couple months from now, my identical twin brother will be online with us. And we're going to do me, him, and Sergeant Major Pearson. We're not even going to have a script. We're
y'all look alike, but do you sound alike?
We
not only that, it's weird. They have like the same mannerisms and everything.
This one we might have to record.
Rubbing your eyes. Who is that? Is it a glitch? That would be
fun.
We should
just like switch outfits. Yeah.
So you guys listening, it'll just be Colonel Bear. It'll feel like Colonel Bear just talking whole hour.
Talking to himself.
What's up, Major Pearson? We're injecting, no scripts. It's gonna be a ton of fun. Who knows how long that's gonna be. So tune into that. But so hopefully the next month will be great.
Be a Joe Rogan style.
Oh,
3 hours.
Excellent, right? 3 hours of awesomeness, right?
On 1.5 speed.
There you go. All right. Well, hey, thanks, y'all. I really appreciate it. And thanks a lot.